Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Political Hitman. I'm Harry Silverman. This is Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. We have a problem. The problem is solvable. The problem is dealable. The problem must be taken care of, but it's not being taken care of by the current Prime Minister of the State of Israel. It's time for him to go. Now, I'm not saying that we should have a revolt and throw him out of office. No. It's time for an election. It's time to elect a Prime Minister who has the guts to take care of the problem. This problem has been festering in Israel for the last 70 years, and it's time to deal with it. How many more Jewish lives do we have to put into jeopardy? How many more Jewish lives have to be lost before the government finally says, hey, enough is enough. We're not going to take this anymore. How long do we have to wait? It's time for a Trump moment in Israel. It's time for a government of Israel to say Israel first. To hell with the world, to hell with anyone and anybody who wants to stand in the way of Israel protecting its citizens. To hell with all of you. We're going to do what we have to do to protect our citizens. It's time for a government that will stand up for the people of Israel, that will stand up for the Jewish nation, that will stand up and protect Jews. It's the government's responsibility to protect Jews, at least the Israeli government's responsibility, to protect their citizens. It's time they started doing that. We're going to talk about how they could do that during this show. The show, unfortunately, is not live. We will be back live again soon. I'm traveling, and it's hard for me to do live shows while I'm traveling, but we must come up with some kind of solution to deal with this problem. I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman. We are here on Israel News Talk Radio. Tell your friends, tell your family, join us, and stay tuned.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Political Hitman. Hi, I'm Howard Silverman. Welcome back to Political Hitman here on Israel. People are scared. People living in Israel are scared. They're scared to go out. They're scared to send their kids out. They are petrified. Why? Because terror is happening in Israel. Jews are being killed. And the government is doing nothing to protect them. We can't keep this going. This is not an attainable situation. This is not a situation that's acceptable. And not a situation that people should accept. But here we are. Another terror attack. Another 3-4 terror attacks in the last week. The week before. And once again, another person I know stuck in a terror attack. A little baby. Dead. People I know. People I've known their whole lives. And here we are. A couple of weeks later. And another terror attack. How many more terror attacks do we have to endure before the government of Israel finally says, Israel first? Before the government of Israel finally says, we are the Jewish nation state, our job is to protect Jews, our job is to protect our citizenship, our job is to ensure that more Jews don't die in terror attacks, and the only way we could do that is to wipe out Hamas, wipe out the Palestinian Liberation Organization. These are the people who are organizing terror attacks. These are our supposed peace partners. These are the people who are organizing terror attacks. These are the people who are paying for terror attacks. These are the people who are committing terror attacks. How long is it going to take before the government finally says enough is enough? We can't deal with this anymore. We're not going to deal with this anymore. We're going to wipe this out. I personally think it's going to take a new government. I don't think Bibi Netanyahu and his band of fools who are running the government at the moment have the balls. And I'm going to say it, to have the balls to take out the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the Hamas. They have the army. They just don't have the guts to do it. They're afraid of what world opinion is going to say. We need a Donald Trump moment in Israel. We need somebody in Israel to get up and say, I don't care what the world thinks. Israel first. And this is the way it has to be. We have to protect our citizens. We are responsible for the lives of our citizens, for the protection of our citizens, for our citizens in general. And we are not going to stop. We are not going to end our resolve of annihilating the people who are promoting terror and paying for terror. Now, I know you'll have these Jews who are anti-Israel who'll be getting up and yelling, not in my name, or they'll be yelling, Nazis. Fine, let them yell. You'll have the UN condemning Israel. Let them condemn. Israel has to do what they have to do to protect their citizens. And if that means leveling Gaza, that's what has to be done. If that means wiping out the PLO, going into Ramallah, arresting all the PLO guys and wiping out the PLO, that's what has to be done. There can be no peace with an organization that is paying people to kill Jews. What kind of masochists are we? What kind of government is this that negotiates, that wants to sit down and negotiate with people who are paying, actively paying for terror attacks against their citizens? I know what you're going to say. You're going to tell me that Golda Meir said that we don't make peace with our enemies, our friends, we make peace with our enemies. That's what you're going to say. Golda Meir said, we don't make peace with our friends, we make peace with our enemies. And you're right, she did say that, and she is 100% right. We don't make peace with our friends, we make peace with our enemies. But when our enemies are constantly attacking us, and we are refusing to declare war, we are refusing to say that this attack against civilians, or this attack against soldiers, or this attack against government officials is an act of war, and we are going to perceive it as an act of war, and we're going to treat it like an act of war, and we are going to deal with it like an act of war. When we are well and willing to say that, when one side is unwilling to say that and just accepts terror attacks against their civilians, just accepts the fact that their so-called peace negotiations, their partners in these so-called peace negotiations, are paying for these terror and ordering these terror attacks, when we realize this, what are we doing? Self-destruction? Is this the way Jews have decided that they want to destroy Israel and kill the Jewish people there? I don't understand what's going on. There was a poll that was recently released, and I read about it just the other day. And the poll says that if there was an election held in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza among the Arabs and the Palestinian Authorized Authorities land, if there was a poll held, they would all vote for Hamas. Now, this doesn't surprise me because they all voted for Hamas in the last election. The last election that Israel and the United States didn't recognize, although it was organized and supervised by Jimmy Carter, the last election which Israel and the U.S. paid to have annullified, well, not nullified, but what they did was they paid for a revolt which threw Hamas out of office and pushed them into Gaza and put the Palestinian Authority into office. Big whoop. That was a great deal. This is the reality. The Palestinian Authority people, the people who live in the Palestinian Authority areas, want Hamas as their leader. Hamas has vowed to destroy the Jewish people in Israel and outside of Israel, around the world. Their goal is to destroy the Jewish people. We heard another group say that they want to destroy the Jewish people, and nobody took them seriously until they started destroying the Jewish people. We have to learn from our mistakes. Now, I'm not saying Hamas is akin to the Nazis, because the Nazis were the most evil organization ever to exist in the world. They built killing factories to destroy Jews. I don't think Hamas is willing or ready or able to build killing factories for Jews. I wouldn't put it past them, but I don't think that's what their goal is. That was Nazis' goal from day one. But I don't think that's what Hamas's goal is. But at the end of the day, they do advocate for the destruction of the Jewish people, both in Israel and outside of Israel. So when you advocate for that, and when you push for the destruction of this Jewish state and the murder and the annihilation of the Jewish people, and all the polls point to the fact that the people living in Arab areas want to vote for Hamas, what are we negotiating? Where is their negotiation? there is one solution in Israel, and it's a simple solution. It's an easy solution. It's a simple solution. Well, maybe not so easy, but simple. And the solution is, quite simply, you have to take out this Arab leadership. You have to take out these organizations. You have to wipe them out. Wipe them off the face of the earth. And you have to tell the population living there that if they are going to advocate for the destruction of the state, if they are going to advocate for the murder of the Jewish people, then they will be removed from the country as well. Or removed from the earth, whichever way Israel decides to play it. Another thing Israel has to do is they have to get rid of the members of Knesset. I know they have Arab members of Knesset to show how pluralistic they are and how welcoming they are and how open they are to their neighbors and their friends. But when these Arab members of Knesset are pushing for the destruction of the state of Israel and promoting the murder of Jews, they have to be removed. They have to be destroyed. You can't have a structure, a normal structured society, where you have members of the society who are advocating the destruction of the Jewish people, destruction of the citizenship of the country. The country can never run properly if you're doing that. You have to be totally insane to allow this to happen within the context of your country. You have to be totally out of your mind. Now, I think that the government of Israel has become complacent. I think that's what happened. You see, that happens a lot. People stay in a job for too long, and they become comfortable in the job, and then they don't want to do the job to the maximum potential of what they could do. The reason is that they've been floating for so long, they've been riding along so long that nobody's bothered them, that why would they have to put an effort into it? Why would they want to put an extra oomph into it in order to do stuff better? And look, Bibi Netanyahu has been in office for 20 years, and I guess he figures that, you know, peace agreement after peace agreement, nothing's worked, so let's just ride this along for as long as we can be prime minister and hope that one day the Arabs will lay down their guns and everybody will be happy. Let's focus on Iran instead of focusing on our internal problem. Let's focus on external problems and forget about the internal problem. You know who else did that? The Americans, right after 9/11. That's what they did. They said, all right, let's forget about the Nazi movement breeding in the States. Let's forget about them. That was the focus before 9/11. Let's forget about the Nazi movement in the States. We're going to focus on the Muslims coming into the United States, and we're going to focus on not allowing the Muslims in and persecuting the Muslims that are here to ensure that we don't have another terror attack like 9/11. But by doing that, what they did was they built up the Nazis that were in the States, and that Nazi movement is huge now. And it's starting to rear its ugly head. You're starting to see more and more Nazi rallies. You're supposed to see more and more Nazi attacks. And with the government of Donald Trump, you see Nazism is kind of spreading in the States. And that only exists because the government failed the population. The government failed to deal with the problem when they had to deal with the problem. They just took a step back. They had something else to deal with. They didn't want to have to worry about that. And now that is their problem. That is their major problem. So why does Israel have to do this? Why does Israel have to be self-destructive? It doesn't. And by not allowing itself to be self-destructive, Israel will actually become stronger. Israel used to be the most feared country in the nation. Now it's the most laughed at. Any country in the world, take a look at France, Germany, look at all these countries. When there is a terror attack, these countries shut down their populations that they feel are responsible for these attacks. These countries go after the people that they feel are responsible for the attacks. The only country in the world that allows their citizens to be killed, maimed, hurt, threatened, that allows organizations to run within their borders that promote and fund the terror openly, the only country in the world that allows that is Israel. Israel has become the laughing stock of the intelligence community, where once they were feared and revered, today they're laughed at. And they're laughed at because they have no respect for their citizenship, the government I'm talking about. They have no respect for the safety of their citizenship or for the allowance of normalcy for their citizenship. They have no respect at all. All they care about is pushing it off till the next government or ignoring the problem. It's unacceptable. We can't allow it. As Jews, we have to stand up and demand the government take action. Something has to give. More Jews cannot die. I'm Howie Silverman. This is Political Hitman. We are here on Israel News Talk Radio. We are not live this week. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, Political Hitman continues right here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I'm Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Political Hitman. Hi, and welcome to Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. My name is Hal Silver. I am your political hitman, and we have a major problem. Terror is reigning in Israel. The Israeli government is doing nothing to protect Israeli citizenship. This is a major problem, and a problem that we can't ignore anymore. The Israeli government's responsibility, as any government's responsibility, is to protect their citizens. And the Israeli government has failed to do that, at least in the last little while. This reign of terror had started with the murder of my friend and our colleague, Ari Fold, and has continued. Almost every day, there's another attack. I knew Ari, and I knew the victims of one of the recent attacks, attacked 2 weeks ago. I knew the pregnant woman and her husband, the Ishrens. I am friends of the family. I remember when Amichai was born. And when I heard immediately after the attack that Amichai was targeted and he was a victim of the terror attack, him and his pregnant wife, I spoke to his uncle, and his uncle told me that this happened maybe 5 minutes after the attack. I was shocked. And I wasn't shocked because of an attack, a terror attack in Israel. That's kind of been too expected. Unfortunately, we're expecting terror and terror and terror, because the Palestinian Authority and Hamas are promoting terror and paying for it. So, of course, it's going to happen. I was shocked because it was another person I knew who was attached to a terror attack. How many times do I have to answer the phone and find out that somebody I knew or somebody I know has been shot in a terror attack in Israel? How many times do I have to pick up the paper and see pictures of people I know grieving because their baby was killed, or grieving because their father was killed? How many more times? It's outrageous that the Israeli government has done nothing, nothing at all, to protect their citizenship. It's outrageous that the Israeli government has allowed this to happen and continue to happen for so many years. It's an outrage, and we should all be outraged. I know I'm outraged. I'm absolutely outraged. And we should all be outraged. As Jews, as supporters of Israel, we should all be outraged at the fact that this is happening and this is continuing to happen and nobody is doing anything to stop it. The Palestinian Authority, just last week, convicted a man for trying to sell land to Jews. They sentenced him to death. Hamas has killed people who collaborated with Israel. I'll use collaborate with quotation marks very loosely. Hamas has killed people who have tried to collaborate with Israel, or who they don't like, and they just accused of collaborating with Israel. Anyway, dealing with the Jewish state is a crime in Hamas land, and people get killed for that crime. People get killed for trying to sell land to Jews in the Palestinian Authority areas. And these are the people we're negotiating with. These are the people we are trying to make peace with. Really? This is the best we could do? Any other country in the world would not tolerate this. America got attacked on 9/11, and the attackers came from Saudi Arabia. But America got attacked on 9/11. Not only did they shut down their borders, not only did they round up people in their land that they felt were promoting terror or supporting terror, they went out and they invaded countries. They invaded, maybe not the right countries, but they went out and they invaded countries. They invaded countries to show that America is not weak, and America is not going to tolerate an attack like 9/11 on their land. And if you take a look, there has not been another major terror attack in the United States, because the United States flexed its muscles. It shored up its borders. It shored up its security. It flexed its muscles. and take a look. There has been no Islamic, well, very few Islamic terror attacks since 9/11, and nothing as major as 9/11. Thank God. Because America is watching out for the citizens. They take their responsibility of protecting their citizens very seriously. Not Israel. And this is the issue I have with the state of Israel today. This is the issue I have with the Netanyahu government. And this is the issue I have with terror reigning in Israel. Israelis are scared. Now we all hear that Israelis are resilient people. Then after a terror attack, they reopen their shops and they're back out there shopping and they don't let terror get them down. But people are people. And humans are humans. And Israelis are humans the same way everyone else is. And they want to live in peace. And they want to be able to send their children out without fear that they're going to blow up or get shot or get stabbed or get run over. Israelis want to live in peace. They want to be able to raise their families in peace. And they have not been able to do that for 70 years. So maybe it's time right now for the Israeli government to take a look at what's going on, to listen to what the Palestinian Authority is saying, to listen to what Hamas is saying, and finally say, enough is enough. We are not negotiating anymore. There is no more negotiations. There's nothing to negotiate. If the Palestinian Authority is saying right now, as they are, that peace is unattainable and that they are not willing to negotiate with the Jewish state and that they are going to pay terrorists and praise terrorists and pay terrorists to go and attack Jews, then what's there left to talk about? If they're going to say that the new state of Palestine, if it's ever created, will have to be Jew-free, what's there to negotiate? If it's okay for the Palestinians, and I'm using their term loosely because we all know they don't exist as a people, but the world is going to accept the fact that there are people called the Palestinians and they're going to give these people a land called Palestine, and that's going to be part of Israel. And that land called Palestine that's part of Israel is going to be Jew-free. Because they've made it very clear they're not going to allow Jews to live in their land. So if that land is going to be Jew-free, a Jew-free Muslim land, then why can't Israel be a Muslim-free Jewish land? If it's okay for one side, why is it not okay for the other? And why aren't human rights activists screaming about this? Where are the human rights activists screaming about a murder of a baby? Where are the human rights activists screaming about the indiscriminate murder of Jews, of drive-by shooting in the middle of the night? Where are the cries of the human rights activists, the cries of the bleeding-heart liberals who attack Israel on a day-to-day basis? Where are their cries? Where are their moans and their wails? Where are the groups getting up and saying Kaddish for the people killed in terror attacks, the Jews killed in terror attacks in Israel? We have people getting up and saying Kaddish for Hamas. This stupid organization, if not by me or whatever they call themselves, are getting up and saying Kaddish for Hamas. But where are the Jews saying Kaddish for Jews? Why is the Jewish community in the diaspora and the Jewish community in Israel, why are they not rioting? Why are they not in the streets demanding equal justice, demanding equal protection under the law? Where are the UN condemnations for these terror attacks? If Israel, God forbid, kills one person, well, that's not Jewish. There's 50 UN condemnations. Where are the UN condemnations for the murder of a baby? An innocent baby, an unborn baby. Where are the condemnations? Why does the world not care about Jewish blood? Where's the condemnations? Where are the people screaming and yelling and being upset about this? I don't hear it. And I don't see it, and I don't believe it's happening. And this is what upsets me more, is that Jews who support Israel are not doing anything at all to combat this spat of terror. Oh yeah, sure, we sit around and we talk about it in our synagogues, and the rabbi will give a nice speech in the diaspora saying, oh, this is horrible, and we should support Israel. Maybe they'll go on a mission with one of the Jewish federations, the United Jewish Federation, or one of the Jewish federations in the States. Maybe they'll go on a mission, and they'll be in Israel for 3-4 days. But where's the practical protesting? Where is the pressure being put on foreign governments to condemn these kind of things? The government of Canada didn't condemn it at all. The United States government condemned it. The United States, okay, this is kind of funny, because the United States government condemned the attack, the drive-by shooting in Ofra. They condemned that attack. The U.S. government condemned that attack. They were the first ones to condemn the attack. One of the victims of the shooting, the father of the baby who died, is a Canadian. He's a Canadian citizen. And the Canadian government took almost a week and a half to come up with a statement, forgettable condemnation. The Prime Minister still hasn't made a statement 3 weeks later. Why are there no protests and rallies and screaming in the streets? What happened to the active Jews? Where did they go? Why the apathy? And I've asked this question for maybe 25 years now. What's up with Jewish apathy? Why are we not being more... Let me just interrupt myself because let me back up a little bit here. I come from a generation. I come from an era where we were in the streets protesting and demanding the release of Russian Jews. Russian Jews were stuck behind the Iron Curtain, and we went to the streets. I was a young kid at the time. And there's a picture of me standing in a rally in Montreal, Canada, standing at a rally in the front of the rally, walking with the leaders of the march in the front of the rally. It's a picture I always use whenever they show a rally from Montreal. I'm the little kid standing in the front. And we are protesting in front of the Russian embassy and demanding the release of Anatoly Sharansky and all the other refuseniks who were being held behind the Iron Curtain. I was out there, and I saw thousands of Jews standing out there with me. What happened to those active Jews? Why wasn't that activism pushed onto the next generation? Why are we so complacent? I have a few ideas about that. And I'm going to share those ideas with you in the next segment because I think it's important that we understand what happened to the active Jews. Why Jews are not in the street anymore. Why Jews are the leaders of the anti-Israel movement. Why Jews are not supporting Israel the way they should be supporting Israel. It's a very important discussion. This is Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm Howie Silberger. We are not live, so don't call in. If you call in, Colin will answer the phone, but you're not going to be able to speak to me. We should be live again in the next couple of shows. Unfortunately, I'm traveling, and I'm not able to do a live show. But I want you to think about this during the break. And when we come back, I want to discuss with you why you think diaspora Jews, the Jews in Israel, are not rioting in the streets, are not standing up and supporting Jews. And why do you think Jews are leaders of the anti-Israel movement? I'm Howie Silberger. This is Political Hitman. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentecohen. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Political Hitman. Welcome back to Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. My name is Howie Silberger, and we are not live, so don't bother calling in. We will be live in a future show. The show is usually live. Unfortunately, I'm traveling, and I can't do live shows while I'm traveling. So I've recorded this show, and hopefully the next show or next two shows will be back live with you right here on Israel News Talk Radio. So please don't call in. I know you want to because it's a topic that everybody wants to talk about, but unfortunately, we can't take your calls this show. Why are Jews anti-Israel? Why do Jews support the people who want to murder other Jews? Why do Jews get up and demonstrate by saying Kaddish for Hamas? Why do Jews lead the anti-Israel movement? Why are there Jews that hate Israel and Zionism? And why aren't Jews active? This is the main question. Why aren't Jews who care about Israel out on the streets and protesting and screaming and yelling, trying to defend the Jews that are there? Why aren't they demanding the UN or other countries take action? Why are they allowing this to continue in Israel? The Israeli government's allowing it to continue for many reasons, including money reasons. And
But what about the Jews in diaspora? What is their motivation for not taking part in demonstrations, for not being actively involved in trying to protect the Jews of Israel? Well, the answer is simple. And the answer is simple for, on the Israeli side, why there are no riots in the streets on Israel. And the answer is simple on the diaspora side. Affluence. When Israel was a young country and fighting for their existence, Israelis were militant in defending their state. They had no choice. If they weren't militant in defending their state, if they didn't put themselves physically out there, their state would disappear. They would be murdered and their stake would disappear. Their enemies around them were so vicious and so determined to destroy the Jewish state that if the Jews in the Jewish state weren't tough and didn't stand up to the Arabs and didn't stand up to the world, the stake would have disappeared right after it was founded. The day after the Declaration of Independence, the stake was attacked and was continuously attacked from then on. So the government of Israel, the prime ministers of Israel, plus the citizens of Israel had to be rough and tough and had to be ready to put their lives on the line to protect their country, to protect their people. Today, Israel has changed. They are affluent. They are tech affluent. They have a GDP which is larger than most countries their size. They are the most productive country in the Middle East. They are very affluent. And the people of Israel are affluent. And when you are affluent and you are comfortable and you are living comfortably and you are living with a lot of money and being able to support yourself and you don't feel the fear that your country is going to fall apart. When you walk into Tel Aviv or you walk into Jerusalem or you walk into Haifa and you walk into these huge modern cities, you're not thinking that you're in a third world country and that the Arab countries around it could just walk in and destroy you. Plus, Israel's military is really, really a great military. Very strong, very, very, very good at what they do. And so the military strength and the affluence of the country has caused the people to go soft. And I hate to say it, but Israelis are soft. And what happens is that when you have this existential threat, so in areas that are far away from the urban centers of Israel, Arabs are burning tires or Arabs are stabbing people. People in the urban center don't really feel it. Sure, if there's a terror attack in the middle of Jerusalem or a terror attack in the middle of Tel Aviv, the urban people feel it. But in general, urban people feel comfortable in their cities. And because they feel comfortable and are living comfortably and feel like they're living in a country like any other country, which is the way it's supposed to be, suddenly these people aren't as militant as they would have been when it comes to protecting their country, when it comes to defending their country, when it comes to standing up for their country. The same thing applies to Jews in the diaspora. When you have over 60% of the Jews in the diaspora who are assimilated into society, many of them don't have that connection. You need religion to have a connection to Israel. The only connection Jews have to Israel is through the Bible. If you don't believe in the Bible and you don't believe in God, and we live in a godless, Bible-less society in North America and in Europe, so if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in the Bible, and you live your life like the Hellenists and the assimilationists and the non-Jews that are surrounding you, then, of course, you're not going to have an affinity to Israel. And, of course, you're going to believe everything that you hear from all these people who may not necessarily like Jews. And so suddenly you're being influenced by society. You're already being influenced. You're already assimilated, so you're already being influenced by society. And being influenced in the lifestyle of society, you're also influenced in the politics of society. And by being influenced in the politics of society, when the society is anti-Israel, when the non-Jews don't like Israel, then many assimilated Jews don't like Israel. And it's not that they have reasons for not liking Israel. They just parrot what they hear from the non-Jewish world, which is interesting because they don't even bother doing their own research. I had the great opportunity over the years to speak to a lot of anti-Israel Jews, to sit down with them on a one-to-one basis and talk to them about why they're anti-Jewish. And every single one of them told me the same thing, that Israel's an apartheid state, that Israel is an oppressor, they're the occupiers, and they stole Palestinian land. And when we get further into the conversation and we talk about how there was never a state of Palestine, that Israel is not really an occupier, because if you look at international law, Israel actually owns the land that they're allegedly occupying. according to international law. And if you take a look at the history of the Palestinians, the history of the Palestinians only starts in 1964. There is no history of the Palestinians before 1964 and the founding of the Palestinian Liberation Organization by Egyptian Yasser Arafat. That happened in 1964. And before that, there were no Palestinians. The people before that that were called Palestinians were Jews living in the area. And before that, the Arabs living in the area insist on being called Arabs. They were part of the Arab League. They were part of the Ottoman Empire before that. And before and after that, they were part of the Arab League. And they just wanted to be called Arabs. There was no nation called Palestine ever in history. It's a manufactured narrative to destroy the Jewish state. Much like BDS, it's a manufactured narrative to destroy the Jewish state. The Palestinians were that generation's manufactured narrative. And this manufactured narrative somehow took a life of its own. People, I don't know how that happened. And, you know, I've studied the history. I understand historically how it happened. I understand how the media was complacent in it, and I understand how all that happened. But I don't understand how the world bought into this fake story that there were people that called Palestinians living in the land, and the Jews came in and expelled these people from their land. I mean, they appropriated the Jewish story. And it's amazing, because if you look at the Palestinian history, as they like to present it, it is Jewish history. They just basically took the experience of the Jews living in the Middle East and just changed Jews to Palestinian. It's the most amazing thing in the world, and the world bought it. And I'm not sure how the world bought it or why the world bought it. My suspicion is that the world bought it because they don't like Jews and they don't like the Jewish state. And we shouldn't be surprised. You and I should not be surprised that the world doesn't like Jews or the Jewish state. It should not be a surprise to any of us. But that's my suspicion. My suspicion is that the world just doesn't like Jews and that they bought this fake story in order to facilitate the destruction of the Jewish state. Because there is nowhere in history that the Palestinian people ever existed before 1964. But that's okay. Let's assume in 1964 a new tribe of people formed, and now they're called Palestinians, and they exist. And let's just assume that for the sake of this argument, and they exist. Well, they can't claim historic land because they have no history. So the land that claim that they have, that's historic land, historic Palestinian land, is bunk. They can't claim that that the Jews are oppressing them, or the Jews are occupying them, because they never had anything there to be occupied, and historically the land never belonged to them. So what's the problem here? The problem is that these were Arabs that were taken from other Arab countries during the Ottoman Empire, and placed there. And in 1964, Jordan and Syria and Lebanon, all these countries sent Arabs to the Middle East, to Israel, to infiltrate Israel and to pretend to be the Palestinians. This was a ploy, and you can look back and read about it, the origins of the Palestinians, and you will find that this was a political ploy by the Arab League and all the countries who realized they couldn't defeat Israel militarily. Therefore, they had to defeat Israel from inside. And so the Palestinian Liberation Organization was a terror organization that was created to defeat Israel internally. They tried it with Jordan. They wanted to create a Palestinian state in Jordan and get rid of the Hashemites there. That didn't work. They moved to Israel. Now, take the BDS movement today and think about this for a second. The BDS movement today was created because the Palestinian Liberation Organization didn't work. They couldn't destroy Israel from internally. They couldn't destroy Israel militarily. They couldn't destroy Israel through terror. So the BDS movement was created to destroy Israel economically, to implode Israel's economy by organizing boycotts against their country and allowing the country to fall apart. It's absolutely amazing, isn't it? If you think about it and you take a look at the two different... you put a mirror to both sides, it's absolutely amazing. And to me, it's fascinating. When you think about it, it's absolutely fascinating. So think about that for a second. So here you have the Arabs who have created the Palestinians in 1964 to destroy the state of Israel through terror. Before that, they tried to destroy the state of Israel through military might. And now they're trying to destroy the state of Israel economically. When they realized the military didn't work, they got defeated militarily. When they realized that the terror didn't work, they couldn't defeat Israel through terror. Now they created the BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanction Movement, to destroy Israel, economically, to try to implode the economy of Israel and have the country fall apart. To me, that is absolutely fascinating, and this is something that we have to realize and something that we have to fight. We have to physically get up and fight. We have to be active Jews, and we have to fight it. Sitting around complacently saying Israel's a great country, I could do nothing but it, doesn't work anymore. I'm Howie Silbergen, this is Political Hitman. We'll see you next show. Thank you so much for listening.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.